Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you. Absolutely perfect day out there. Hopefully you get outside and do something fun. What about you, Ron? You going to go do some fun outside?
Hell yeah, bro. Let's do fun stuff.
Go skateboarding? Were you a skateboarder?
No. I got one skateboard, and it was one of those dumb plastic ones.
The skinny ones?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
The ones that are impossible?
Yeah. I didn't get one of the cool ones made of wood with the
big flat
tape
boards
on them.
Good designs on there.
I wasn't doing ollies or whatever they call them.
I do wish I knew how to skateboard.
Do you have time?
I don't think I do.
No?
I think at this age, it's getting too close to I'm too uncoordinated. I'm going to break a bone. Something like that. Because, I don't know, I feel like when you're a kid, you're not as afraid of falling.
Yeah.
I feel more afraid of falling now.
Yeah, falling sucks a little more now.
Right, and it's not like I'm like, oh, I'm old, I can't have fun. No, I know I can have fun, but I am way more afraid of falling.
In your defense, you just act older than you are.
Aw.
That hurt me, and it wasn't even directed at me.
She thought it was nice.
Back in, 2004... So I rode mini bikes and motorcycles my whole childhood and adolescence. And then in 2004, when I was grown up, I bought a Harley and I decided I was going to take private riding lesson so I didn't die. And there's this exercise the guy does where you basically make as tight a turn as you can, which would fit within this room easily. And you have to really lean the bike over. And when you ride a motorcycle, other riders know this, especially if you're on twisties, you really have to lean that bike over. And the biggest mistake newbies make, like some orthodontist who's never ridden, goes out and buys a $50,000 Harley, takes it out on the wine roads, doesn't commit to a turn, almost hits a tree, and puts it up for sale the next day at half price. Like, that's how it works. And so I was doing this little exercise and having trouble with it, and the guy said, when you were little, your brain was stupid, and it didn't mind having your brain so close to the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're smart, and your brain's like, what the hell are you doing? Keep me away from the pavement. And I thought, that's so smart.
Yep.
Like, that makes such total sense.
Yeah.
That it's actually counterintuitive, because to keep my brain from hitting the pavement, it needs to be closer. You got me?
Yeah.
And so I think you're onto something.
And also, not all falling is equal, and this is not going to make sense, but I would rather fall off a mountain. Like, somehow I am less afraid of falling off a mountain than I am afraid of falling off something with wheels, because I don't like the cartoon. Like, that's how I feel with a skateboard.
Sitting here going through my, I think I'm really good at falling.
Yeah.
Like, I have fallen several times, recently, in the past 5 years or so, downstairs, let's say.
Mm?
And it is so comical to me, because we all know, we've all experienced time dilation if you're having a rear end, car accident or something. And when I fall, I have enough time to think about, Fantasy Island and Love Boat. Not only do I have time to go okay, how bad is this going to be? Have you hit anything yet? It's like elbow, neck, 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 elbow, neck. And then you do the thing where you...
Yeah.
But I must be pretty good at it.
Yeah. I feel like I'm still good at it, too.
Falling?
Yeah, because you get I don't experience the way you described it. I don't think about it, but I have this way
you
of
no inner monologue.
Yeah, right. I have this whenever I fall, arms come in, shoulders curl, so you don't hit flat and you don't smack your head and things like that.
You have a strategy.
No, I don't think about it, though. I just fell all my life doing things, and that's what it happens.
When you're a bowling ball, is it possible to fall?
Yeah,
I kind of roll.
You just kind of roll.
Yeah,
I wasn't going there, but
no,
yeah.
That's a good point.
Your center of gravity
helps.
Your center of gravity is a foot from the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I don't fall very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're hard to knock down.
Yeah.
You're sturdy.
Yeah.
Did you play football?
No.
Should have.
You saw the picture of me when I was in eighth, ninth grade.
Yeah.
I was 140 pounds. I wasn't playing football.
Right.
really filled out.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, back to no inner monologue thing, which I've just given you.
Yeah.
It may or may not be true. But
yeah, I was thinking, has he ever said that?
No, I've just put.
I don't think there's a monologue
together.
Because the way
a
you
monologue?
Describe, yeah, there's not a monologue in there. The way you've described it.
Yeah.
Is not what happens in my brain.
Okay, so when you get in your sweet Camaro tonight and drive home.
Yes.
It's a bitchin' Camaro.
It's badass.
Got
a spoiler.
What goes on in your mind from the time you leave until you get home?
Oh, it depends on the day. I'm probably, I would say.
But something goes on.
I would say, yeah. I would say probably, if I'm going to go like my drive home, 25% of it is probably like yelling at drivers around me for being dumb. 35, 40% is probably thinking about baseball. Like, what games are on tonight? What do I want to watch? How's my fantasy team? Things like that. And then the other stuff varies. Like, maybe it's the, because sometimes I just want to play music. So then it's that. It's the songs that I'm listening to that are going through my head.
See, I'm more like, hey, look at that guy. That guy looks like Nipsey Russell. Nipsey Russell was really funny. I really liked watching
Nipsey
Russell.
What happened to that guy?
He was on the Love Boat. You know who else was on the Love Boat? Gavin McLeod. Then Gavin McLeod also, he was on Mary Tyler Moore. Mary Tyler Moore was kind of hot for being not hot. Like, it just never, ever stopped.
But is it triggered by things that you see? Because Michael Kelly will talk about being ADD and how he sees things and gets distracted.
Yeah.
I have a million tabs open, but I live life in the, like, I have my hand on the back of my head, like back here, where like all of my thoughts, where I'm the most unobservant person ever. You know, where you think, what was that? I've, you know, spent an afternoon with someone. I don't know what they were wearing. I just have all of these thoughts in the back of my head. So I am so distracted / absent-minded. Like Mason Jar will ask me all the time. He goes, oh, did I lose you? Did I lose you? Where are you? Where are you now? Because it's always back here. So I'm not distracted by like, oh, a squirrel. It's, I'm thinking about something.
I would say I have both.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really, when I say this, I just mean it. My brain is a blessing and a curse. If I didn't have this brain, I wouldn't be sitting in this chair, but I also would be happier. No doubt about it. No question.
Are they mostly downer thoughts?
I'm real prone to downer thoughts.
Yeah.
For example, like what's going on with my mom right now, and she's going to have to make another move to like a skilled nursing home, and you have to have 6 months worth of money, and to do that, we'll have to sell her house, except my name's not on her house. And so I've been waking up about 4 a.m, if I'm lucky, and just going down the list of horribles.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things I can handle, but I don't want to handle them. And my brain really enjoys putting them in front of my face going like, look at what you got to do.
Yeah.
This is going to suck.
The idea of those things is probably worse than actually doing them.
100%. Mm. Always has been.
Yeah.
Always has been. In fact, I can't conjure a memory when I procrastinated something and I did it and I was like, that was every bit as bad as I thought. I mean, it just isn't.
Yeah.
But okay. This is a bit counter. Like, as far as like, a counter theory, as far as doing taxes or paperwork, right? Chores. But when it comes to, and this is a real downer thought, when it comes to loss, tragedy, that type of thing, I have found the opposite, which has made me more fearful as an adult. I feel like the thing that I feared or something bad that's happened, I feel like I'm being way too vulnerable here, has been so much worse than I ever could have imagined, that it was so much more hurtful, so much harder, that it's made me more fearful. And I've like working through that. I don't want to live in fear, but I find myself.
I agree with that.
Having if you lose someone.
I agree with that.
The grief is like so much worse.
See, for
it's really
me,
bad.
Mine is all let's beat up Dave. So in my life, like everyone's life, I've had people do things to me. I've had people do things to me, take advantage of me, screw me over. I rarely, if ever, think about those things. It's always the stuff I've done. And those things I put in the bucket with loss, not so much like the death of a loved one or things like that. It's just more like relationships. And so that's how I spend a lot of my time. Like, you know, if I were to do an interview and people and it's like, hey, what are your hobbies? I would say like, oh, you know, drumming and sports and blah, 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 blah. If I were honest, it would be feeling like a big piece of crap like that. And I think there are a lot of people out there shaking their head right now because they can relate to that because they have the same kind of thing going on. And then there are drugs you can take that evidently take that away. I've yet to find that drug, but if I did, I'll take that
drug.
Have
you tried any?
Yeah, I've tried a couple, and what they did was mostly squash everything, which is helpful in some ways, but, you know, when you're squashing everything.
Right, right.
So
it's always the balance.
To feel that way, you know, like big piece of crap, Is it because you're thinking of everything you've ever done wrong or fallen short? Like, what is, or is it just a general nonspecific feeling?
To not get into too much detail, I have been mercifully quiet about my childhood. And if I weren't, everyone would get it. And you don't have to do a lot of research to know that when you have a certain kind of childhood, your response isn't, oh, you monsters, or, you know, I can't believe this, or I can't believe that. It's to blame yourself. Mm-hmm. And now we're getting really vulnerable, but it's something that it's like having shoes nailed to your feet. It's pretty hard to get rid of them. And suddenly you're walking funny because someone nailed high heel shoes to your feet and you don't want to have high heel shoes. Mm-hmm. And so 59 years of living this way and therapy and the whole bit, talking to other people, reading a lot, it helps to know that not only am I not alone, I'm pretty common. I'm pretty cliche, in fact, for people who, mm-hmm. you know, have lived through what I have. But on any given morning at 4 a.m, it doesn't help. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the therapy thing, I feel like I would benefit from it a lot. But I have this thing where I've got a lot of thoughts and sometimes negative ones. And I think, it's fine. That's what I do with everything. It's fine. I'll deal with it later. I do a lot of that. And I think
that's work. If it works.
Well, I mean, I don't define work.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm better off for it, but yeah. I feel like I am a huge procrastinator. And I wonder if that's part of it. Because I'm just like, it's fine. I'll deal with it. It's fine.
Do you think there's a potential that's a pressure cooker? That it's fine, it's fine? You know what I mean?
Until it's not?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's like that for me.
I think you would know if you really needed to go. Like, I tend to be pretty intellectual and I don't do a lot of like crying in therapy and pounding my chest. It's far more cerebral. And it does help to have someone smart tell you, like my therapist is 75 and semi-retired, but he's had a very long career. And it helps to have someone say, your circumstances are unique to you, but you're not unique. I've spoken to hundreds of people like you. Here's where you're ahead of the game. Here's where we need some work. And that helps a lot just to know that, other people fill in the blank. You know, you could make it something physical. Other people have trouble losing weight. Other people have trouble with blah, 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 blah. But I've never been able to think my way out of this. And I don't think you can. The only thing that's ever helped is being forced into feeling pain, because I'm really good at running around my backhand, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then when you're forced to feel pain and confront things, at least in my life, that brings about change.
Mm.
And it's a difficult bargain to make. And as someone who procrastinates everything, procrastinating feeling the brunt of pain, I'm really good at. 123 DGS. Well, Rachel embarrassed me today.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
What'd you do, Rach? Probably on purpose, too.
It wasn't on purpose. It was just a classic me being an idiot situation. We went to go get coffee at Catalyst downstairs, and sometimes we go down there and there's a long line and we don't want to wait in line.
Yeah.
Would you like to tell the story, Dave?
Sure. So, let me set the stage. I mean, I'm me and look like me, right? Which no one notices. I'm a ghost. Rach, that's
the
true. I look like every guy at the Blues game.
Amy's got a word for you.
What's that?
Get serious. No, Bluesers. Everybody knows. Bluesers.
Yeah.
Oh, never heard that.
Yeah.
Did you make that up?
No, everybody knows. It's a thing. Okay. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. It's common when you're around the hockey team.
Yeah.
Not that the team uses it, but like people around the team do.
Yeah, hockey fans. A friend
then
of mine.
I look like an upper crust Bluesier. Then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rach is very attractive, and she's dressed up today because she had an interview for her show. I say that because people will notice when she walks in. I could walk in and make the fart noise with my armpit and walk back out, and people are like, was that a guy? Yeah. So she's in front of me, and she walks in. She walks in and there are like three people in line and she stops and what did you yell?
I said, oh no, there's a line.
She goes, oh, no, there's a line. And everyone turns to look and she stops so abruptly and turns to face me that I run into her. And so now we're just nose to nose, and I'm trying to see past her to see, like, what's this amazing line? And then we just walk out in shame.
Because I was like, do you want to leave? And Dave was like, at this point, yes, I do.
Oh, no, there's a line. That's so great.
You've embarrassed me in front of strangers. We have to leave now.
It's like the grandpa on The Simpsons walks right in, turns around, walks right out.
Exactly. Except they drew as much attention as possible.
Man.
By yelling.
So then we went for a little walk and came back in 10 minutes hoping no one would be in there. Who
Maybe they had a shift.
Was there a new line or no line?
There was no line.
Oh,
no
beauty. Beauty.
I was pretty.
Then I'll say well played, you two.
Yeah, sounds like everything worked out.
Yeah.
I know.
You're
I
right.
Was...
I'm the hero.
You are a hero. You're always the hero because you're better than the rest of us.
That's not true.
We talk about this sometimes.
Yeah.
She and I. She thinks that you're. You're overselling that.
Yeah. I think it's just I'm a little shy sometimes. So I think sometimes Chris particularly will like project that I'm like this amazing person. It's like no, I'm just quiet.
No, you're just polite.
I am quite polite.
You're not mean like the rest of us.
I am polite.
The rest of us are mean. You're not mean.
Well, thanks.
But I started to push back, but I won't.
Andrew,
I understand you almost won the trivia.
Yeah, Sue and I did
Team 10
trivia.
Beat you by one, right?
Yeah, Table 10 beat us by a single point.
Always Table 10, man.
You donated the basket very generously, and they did like a special auction for it. That was very
fun. Nice. That's cool.
It was super fun. They were like, he was like, bottle of wine signed by Dave and the Capitol Grill. And somebody screamed out, wait, is he here? And he was like, oh, I don't think he's actually, I don't think
he should have stood up and taken a bow.
He is here through me.
His eye.
A lot of bulldogs there?
There were a ton of bulldogs. There was one bulldog in particular that, look, I can't deny it. She and my wife had a special connection.
The dog.
The dog and my wife had a special connection, like, I mean, love at first sight. Like, it was a moment, like, you could feel it. Yeah. And I was like, oh, no. Because we can't have a bulldog. We can't have a dog. The house isn't big enough. We have a cat already. It's just...
Got a lot of rats.
It just can't...
Spiders.
No, just
spiders.
Just
mice.
But it just can't happen. So that became my night almost immediately after we walked in.
Yeah.
It was a whole night of my
wife
going,
like... Were you resentful of the dog?
A little bit, because it was like, now I got to do this. And my wife's like... Just, what if we did this and this? And I'm like, we can't have a dog. Now I have to be the bad guy who says what she knows already, which is that we can't have a dog.
But you still managed to almost win the contest.
We still managed to almost win. Because we're really good at
trivia.
That's
a success story.
Nice.
Yeah. And there was the MC of the event was my kindred spirit. I really loved him. I didn't get a chance to tell him how much I liked his drip, but he was wearing a Mountain Dew polo, like a bright green Mountain Dew polo. And a Mountain Dew hat, and he was drinking a giant, like, 200-ounce cup of Mountain Dew, like, Mountain Dew branded. And I was like, man.
It's a lot of commitment.
Well, hold on. I know. I was like, I like this guy.
Were they sponsored by it, or is that just his identity?
That was just what he was wearing.
Okay.
What's a drip?
Like your outfit,
top of
right?
Look.
Yeah.
Like you've got,
you guys are keeping
you
gotta me
young. You got to get with the kids, Dave.
It's part of your riz.
Yeah.
Right. If you got riz, yeah.
Very good.
Well done, Dave. Proper usage of slang.
DGS. We talk a lot about generations here. I was born in 64, 59 years old. So I was 10 years old, 1974. And I was thinking about, I am the 10-speed generation. Like Todd Hamilton, who was about 5 years younger than me, had the first Huffy I ever saw.
Ooh.
Didn't appeal to my generation. The generation above me rode bikes with fenders, right? So... But my generation was like the Schwinn 10-speed generation. And I remember getting my first one and being in the back of my dad's truck. And he stopped off to get KFC on the way. Amy, sorry if that offends you. And
Amy Judge right away.
And I'm just sitting back there with my red Schwinn Varsity, just brand new, never been ridden before, and just magic. 10 speeds, mini bikes, and pulling your tube socks all the way up to your knees.
Yeah.
Yep.
How about you guys?
Yeah.
Give me two or three things that, like, would tell me how old you are.
Well, I mean, I think it's that. Like, we had a progression when it came to bikes, right? Like, at some point, you got a dirt bike, and that was the coolest thing you could have. Maybe that was, like, age 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And then once you got to be a teenager, then it was the 10-speed. And if you didn't have a 10-speed at that point, you were slow and dumb. So, like, it was, like, this weird progression that we had. But if you're going to talk about, like, being a kid that was born in the early 70s, but so mostly late 70s, early 80s, I would say that the fact that we actually had the early, you know, video game systems would tell you how old we are.
Yeah.
Right? From the Atari to the Intellivision to all of that. Yeah.
I feel like we transitioned into the bikes you're talking about into the mountain slash road bike.
Once I was an adult.
That was like the very last one I had was a bike like that.
But you're like 5 years younger than me, right? So you were probably right on that transition.
Yeah. So we were like in the first part of that. But it is the video game system.
Yeah.
So for me, Nintendo, when it came out, I think we bought an Atari when I was really young, and it didn't work. And we took it back, and I got something completely different. I don't remember what it was, but I didn't. I never really had an Atari. Yeah. It was the Nintendo. That was the one.
It would either be that for us, for me, or we were we got cable. Like, that's probably the wider one.
Oh.
Like, when I was a kid, we didn't have cable. We got it when I was when I was a kid. We didn't get cable till I was maybe fifth or sixth grade.
I said this so many times, but it just makes me laugh. Eddie O'Neill, of course, the only kid with a brick house, had cable first. And they had Cinemax or whatever it was, and it was scrambled at night.
Yeah. The scrambled.
What does that mean?
It's just fuzz.
Right. You could hear it.
Dirty movies.
Yes, you could hear it.
You could hear everything going on, but the screen was
just... So if you didn't buy it, you mean it was
scrambled? Right, you'd have to pay for it to unscramble it. Yeah.
And you didn't because Cinemax became Skinemax at about 10 p.m.
Right. Oh. It was all softcore.
Yes.
Oh.
But if you stared at it... Okay.
Like a magic eye?
Yes. Yeah.
You can see it.
If you stared at it once every 2 minutes, it'd be like,
you'd get one.
Nipple.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'd get one shot.
Are you guys serious?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then it would go back into.
Ask any male.
Yeah.
Plus, your imagination kind of fills in the blanks on the fuzz, right?
Uh-huh. Well, and when you're 11 or 12,
I knew none of this,
and you don't know what it's supposed to look like.
Right, yeah.
You're
right.
Way more likely. Everything was a nipple when it was probably a street sign.
Yeah.
And then there was always this thing.
There would
about,
be a time every once in a while, though, you would get 20 seconds of clear screen out of nowhere.
That would kind of happen.
Yes, rare, but it would happen.
And there was this thing about you're supposed to be able to use butter knives.
What?
To somehow stick in the back and I never figured that out.
Oh, man, would I have liked to have been a friend.
It was that's what people...
I don't know what you're talking about either.
No, in the back of the cable box, you were supposed to... I don't know. My friend...
Is it an urban legend?
I think so.
That was a great way to get electric.
You could tune it in?
Yes, you could do something with butter knives in the back of the box and then it would steal the signal somehow. People used to talk about it. I never figured it out. I also didn't try because I was a good kid.
I forget. I don't remember how old, maybe 12 or 13, but my dad's best friend lives in West Virginia, and they're in a mountain. They don't have cable, didn't go there. They had an actual big, giant-ass satellite dish, right? And he used to try to – my buddy, my dad's best friend had a son who was a year older than me, and he would always try to get that with the Playboy Channel and things like that. And every once in a while, it was me when the parents would go out to dinner or whatever. And if the satellite dish was pointed in a certain way, they knew that's what he was trying to do. Because it had to turn for every channel. But that one was over here.
Oh,
and
that's
all
not
the other
good.
Ones are over there. Yeah,
pointing south.
And it doesn't move very fast. So when he heard the car, he's like, oh, no.
That is not good. There was a thing on, I think it was a BlackBerry. I had a friend that I used to work with who... It would somehow show people your status. So if you're on your BlackBerry using your phone, using internet, other people could see what you were looking at.
No.
What?
Yeah. And I'll never forget this. One time it said that he was on, you know, Pornhub or something.
Ooh.
One of those. And I thought, and I'm telling my buddy with me, I'm like, dude, so-and-so, he's on. Look at this. This is what he's looking at right now. Why can we see this? It was a status, and we debated whether or not we should tell him.
Wow.
We didn't. So I bet a lot of people knew that he was looking at Pornhub.
Yeah, that you seems what, like a glitch in the Matrix. It's,
yeah, it was like a weird, it was some sort of status thing. You know how like Facebook has a status, so-and-so is doing this right now. Yeah. Or it used to be like that. It was one of those things where you could see what site he was currently on. Yeah. So I don't think that exists anymore, so you're probably fine.
That's really good.
You're probably
fine. Because Blackberries don't exist anymore.
Yeah, I think that's it. They really committed to the buttons.
Rach, Andrew, how would you define your generation?
Andrew, I was thinking like the Pokemon generation.
Yeah. That started when we were
like five.
Eight, I think, closer to, actually. It was like 98, I think.
1996, just looked it up.
Well, in Japan, but in America, it was 90.
It was like, we could get in a stupid argument.
That reminds me of taking Nick to see the first Pokemon movie.
Yeah.
And the first 2 minutes of it, I was trying to pull something sharp out of the seat so I could open a vein. I've never felt that, like, I've never done hallucinogens. Uh-huh. But I feel like I have.
When Pikachu cried and it brought Ash back to life.
And we all cried.
Spoiler,
we all cried together.
It was just the first, like, the first 2 minutes of that movie.
With Mewtwo.
Was like a fireworks finale. Like, they just front-loaded it.
They did.
You know what I mean?
It starts intense, yeah.
That reminds me so much of Nick with such a sweet but scared little kid. And we went to the movies to watch something really very easy. And they did the trailer for Small Soldiers, like a little CGI thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so the Small Soldiers are doing their thing and they're walking around creepily during the preview. And they finish it and they're like, you know, rated G for general audiences. And Nick just goes, let's go.
Okay, we're out.
And we didn't see a movie for a year. But so, he was just like, I didn't know movies could be like this.
Small Soldiers is actually rated PG-13, and I know that because my brother took me to see that movie before I was 13, and he told my parents that it was PG and not PG-13, and he was like, listen here, you little punk. You don't say a word to them about how this is PG-13, or I'm going to get in trouble. So just keep your mouth shut,
my mom and dad,
and we'll all get to enjoy this.
When I was about 12, my mom and dad took me to the drive-in to see Blazing Saddles.
Oh, boy.
And at one point, my dad let me go into the restaurant area and buy a couple of those burgers in the tin foil.
Uh-huh.
And I peed next to a guy that was drunk. It was just like a coming of age.
Yeah.
And in Blazing Saddles, the F word is used frequently and they used it. My mom was like, Jack, Jack. And he turns around to me. He's like, boy, you heard that before. And I'm thinking, I heard it a lot on the way here. I have a PhD in that word, Dad.
You know, the one that I was thinking of for Rachel and I's generation. Now, maybe it's just me because I was weird like this. I'm kind of like Nick. I'm scared of everything. Y2K was huge
Sky. Yeah.
I feared nothing like Y2K. I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought I would just kind of like blink out of existence, I guess. But I was terrified of Y2K.
My dad was buying cases of water and we were keeping them in the basement. Like, I don't think we really thought something was going to happen, but just in case,
awesome.
We had some supplies.
Smart.
Right before Y2K, Maureen and I had just started dating and she invited me to go to Jamaica with some couple's friends of hers. And I had $800 to my name. And it cost $700 to go. Mm. Like, this all inclusive. So, of course, I went. And so I have no money. None at all. And one of the guys there who was like a normal guy, he thought I was a normal guy, right? Because I can come off as a normie. And I'll never forget this. We were drunk in the pool. It's all inclusive. And he's like, dude, what are you going to do with your money for Y2K? I'm like, gold, brother. I'm putting it all in gold. And then I heard him walk to his wife. And he's like, Glover's putting all of his money in gold. And I felt bad because Glover had no money. And it could have been a big mistake for them. But I just thought it was such a good bit. I just kept the whole thing going.
You're buying one of those little Costco gold bars.
Now they're probably rich because they put all their money in gold.
I was going to say, they might be doing well because of your advice.
Glover's investing in something called IBM.
And I remember one of the guys that was on the trip back then sold vacuum cleaners for a living. but he could sell anything. And like every sweeper he sold, I know this because he's one of those guys that just vomits everything. Every sweeper he sold, he made like $2,000, something like that. It's like one of those upper end kind of deals. And he had all his little minions out there selling them. And I was going back to about $70 for real. And he came back to the pool one time from getting drinks, and he just called back home, and he'd always clap like this. And he's like, 10 sweepers. I sold 10 sweepers today. And I'm like, I'm going to drown you. I'm just going to.
10 sweepers. Are they still door-to-door salespeople?
Boy, I hope not.
Probably a lot less. And nobody answers the door anymore.
I think there are still door-to-door religious people, right?
I don't even know about that.
Occasionally.
I had Latter-day Saints show up.
I tell you what, I don't know, maybe because we weren't home, but somebody just hung their literature on our doorknob.
I told you that. This was like 2 weeks ago. I was in the middle of something bad. I forget what it was, but that one of my many things that, you know, and knock at the door, which is very uncommon. Yeah. And two guys in white shirts and ties. So I knew it was either the Good Humor Man or the Mormons. And I just opened the door, and they started to hand me some pamphlets. And I think I told you guys this. I'm like, look, I'm an agnostic. I'm not an atheist, but I'm agnostic. And I really have no use for what you're trying to tell me. But I really respect what you guys are doing, and I wish you well. If I can give you some food or drink or money or anything, I'm happy to do that. And the guy goes, whoa.
Yeah.
I
just open the door and I go, no. And then
I don't even answer the door. I just look out the window and just wave at him.
Who's that guy? Why?
Nope.
I mean, this has to work, but who are these people? It's always like two youngerish guys going, yeah, we're delivering steaks, and we've got a truck full of extra steaks if you want to buy them.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant
those?
The Mormons. That's how they took that approach.
Hey, if they brought steaks, I might listen to them.
Is that a scam?
If they joined with Omaha Steaks?
I mean, I've never heard of like an old-fashioned
from Omaha
scam
Steaks or the Latter-day Saints.
Oh, I like steaks.
That's called a callback, folks.
That's how you do that.
Hope you were listening 4 days ago.
Yeah. If so, you thought that was hilarious.
Amy just turned skates into steaks.
It's her go-to, man. She's got maybe one more.
Yeah.
Before it gets old. She's got to really thread the needle on the next one.
Anybody else tired?
You
got to
play it well.
154 DGS. And we have a real show. We have Avi Loeb, the head of astronomy from Harvard, who just keeps doubling down on the UFOs and now saying that they're interdimensional. Chet Pleven's going to join us at 3 to talk about the Trump trial, and there's several really interesting things going before the Supreme Court. Dave Murray, Sweet 16. So, yeah, we got a ways to go here. Someone bought a house and found a secret door in the basement that led to something like a torture dungeon without all the paraphernalia.
I see a lot of these videos on the TikTok. Hidden rooms, the hidden doors, things like that.
It wasn't the last people.
Right.
They could figure that out. This is decades ago.
Yeah.
How much is a Weird Jout?
I don't know. Sometimes that type of thing I can't get over.
So I just saw one. It was they moved the bed to the side, and it was behind where the bed was. And they moved bookshelves, and then they opened, and there was a drain in the room.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Yeah. I saw that one.
So was this, are we talking about a house that was, that's 100 years old or older? Or are we talking about something from the 70s?
Which is worse?
I don't know. It's probably the same. They're saying the same terrible.
I think if it's the 1800s, it's, I'll tell myself it's something normal
some other
that I
weird
don't
thing.
Know about.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Good point.
Yeah,
that's true, right.
That's why that's why I don't get too worried about it, is like, there can't be that. One. There can't be that many people with...
You have one?
He has a coal room,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I have like a side coal room, but it's like, there can't be
which
that many people.
Which is turned into a torture chamber.
Right. There can't be that many people with torture chambers secretly, right? So it's like, well...
Making a lot of assumptions over there.
Yeah.